Good evening. I'd like to welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we do have the air conditioners on. So it's going to get cooler. Would you turn to hymn number 222 to begin our worship? 222. Would you kneel with me in prayer? Our righteous Heavenly Father, again we bow the knee before thy holy throne and ask that you will accept of our praise and our thanksgiving. Forgive us of our sins and guide and direct us that we might be a light unto others, that we might be found doing thy work. Oh Lord, we thank you for the blessings of this day, a beautiful day, another day of life. We ask that you would go with those that are less fortunate than we that are in need, though they be physical or cares of the world, need of jobs, healings. We ask that you would look after thy children. And especially we ask for your ministry who are in the mission field, and those in the third world countries, that they be safe. Bless our young people who are in harm's way. And we pray that you could end these world conflicts and that peace might prevail. Go with us now throughout this hour, and we ask that you would be with thy servant as he breaks the bread of life. Give him strength that he can deliver thy message. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, first things first, we need to turn these
things off, if you have them. It's becoming a ritual, I think. Well, again, welcome in the name of the Lord and Savior. It has been a beautiful day. I don't know if you saw that sunset out there. Really pretty. Another of God's creation. As our brother Mark steps up here to deliver the message the Lord's placed on his heart, offer a prayer for him, that he'll be guided in that regard. And then open your own minds and your hearts that you might receive that food that will help you with your warfare in the days ahead. And of course, greet him with your biggest and best smile, our brother, Elder Mark Hill.
I forget on Sunday night you have to be ready to go. I forget, if I start reading scriptures over again, holler at me. I don't have a pen to go down my page with. It was a good day. It's been a wonderful day. Thank you very much, because I will get lost. Second. Note to Des this time. Have you ever thought, about justice and the demands of justice and mercy? And that actually that we are our own judges on where we're going to spend eternity as far as the way we lead our life. Well, I have, especially last night and this morning. Hopefully I won't put you to sleep. Hopefully this won't fall apart. Let's start in Romans, the 5th chapter. Let's just get into it here. It's the best way for me to do this. So I'm going to talk about atonement and probably a little bit about redemption. I'm sure that'll come out in the readings that I have. As a matter of fact, I know it will. And I'm going to talk about justice, and I'm going to talk about mercy. Romans 5, verse 10. Verse 10 and 12. Verse 10 through 12, and then I'm going to skip the other verses and go right to 18 through 21. Paul says here, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And then skip down to verse 18. "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life, by Jesus Christ our Lord." In a nutshell, that's atonement. And if we go to page 85 in the Book of Mormon, Lehi has an exhortation, and I'm going to read part of it here. I feel like it's a very good job of explaining atonement. And I'll start at verse 101. And I, Lehi, according to the things which I have read, must needs suppose that an angel of God, according to that which is written, had fallen from heaven. Wherefore he became a devil, having sought that which was evil before God. And if we were to go back and read some, if I could bring out some more scriptures, I'm taking it a lot that most of you know about the war that happened in heaven, where Satan fought against, if I remember right, it's the archangel Michael. Am I right? Okay, good. Satan was kicked out of heaven. And he took a third of the host of heaven with him. And that's what he's talking about, that there was an angel that had fallen from heaven. And because in verse 103, and because that he had fallen from heaven and had become miserable forever, he sought also the misery of all mankind. Wherefore, he saith unto Eve, yea, even that old serpent, which is the devil, which is the father of all lies, wherefore, he saith, partake of the forbidden fruit, and ye shall not die, but ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And after that, Adam and Eve had partaken of the forbidden fruit, they were driven out from the Garden of Eden to till the earth. And they have brought forth children, yea, even the family of all the earth. And the days of the children of men were prolonged according to the will of God, that they might repent while in the flesh. Wherefore their state became a probation, and their time was lengthened according to the commandments which the Lord God gave unto the children of men. For he gave commandment that all men must repent. For he shewed unto all men that they were lost because of the transgression of their parents. Eve was tempted. She partook. Adam partook of the forbidden fruit, and they became as God, knowing good from evil. And that's why we know good from evil, hopefully. Because Satan wanted everyone to be miserable like unto himself. But yet God in his wisdom lengthened out the days that we might repent because of the fall of Adam. And what verse was I at? I'll start at 108. Wherefore their state became a state of probation, and their time was lengthened according to the commandments which the Lord God gave unto the children of men. For he gave commandment that all men must repent, for he showed unto all men that they were lost because of the transgression of their parents. And now, behold, if Adam had not progressed, he would not have fallen, or transgressed, he would not have fallen. But he would have remained in the Garden of Eden, and all things which were created must have remained in this same state which they were after that they were created, and they must have remained forever and had no end. And they would have had no children, wherefore they would have remained in a state of innocence, having no joy, for they knew no misery, doing no good, for they knew no sin. They didn't know good from evil. Everything was great. And if you think about it, how can you know, what's it called here? How can you know joy if you've never experienced misery? Might be, and men are, that they might have joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he might redeem the children of men from the fall. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil. To act for themselves, not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore, men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto men. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. Because of the fall of Adam, we get to choose. We have a choice. Because it says in 18, to act for themselves. But the Messiah, Jesus Christ, came to redeem the children from the fall. And that redeem, I've said this in about every sermon I've ever used, the word redeem. That's buying back. That's what redemption is Jesus Christ bought us back so that we have a chance to dwell with His Father God in heaven for eternity. If Jesus hadn't came and did what He did and died on the cross to make that atonement, to buy us back from the fall of Adam, we would all be doomed. That's the way I see it, if I understand the Scriptures. And in some places, that's called the demands of justice. And I will get into that, because it is justice that because of the transgression of Adam, we fall under it. We should be doomed. But God had a plan. And He sent His Son to buy us back, and that's what He did. He bought us back. I'm going to spend a lot of time in the 19th chapter of Alma. I'm going to start with one verse on page 446. Set this up a little bit. This 19th chapter is Alma, and he is talking to one of his sons, Corianton, who had been called to be a minister. But as Alma took two of his sons with him to go to preach to the Lamanites, or the Zoramites, one of his sons decided that he would chase after a harlot, and that was Corianton. And Alma's being a little bit rough on him, but he needs to be rough on him here. And verse 12 is one of them I want to bring out. And then we're going to skip to some other places. But verse 12, Alma's telling his son that, "Behold, you cannot hide your crimes from God, and except you repent, they will stand as a testimony against you at the last day." The things we've done wrong in this life, they are going to stand against us at the last day, except we repent of them. And would anybody disagree with me that you cannot hide your crimes from God? I can hide my crimes from Gary. If I was a betting man, I'd bet on it. I got good at it at one time. I could fool my wife pretty easily at one time with my crimes. But you know, I can't hide them from God. He knows everything I've ever done in my life, every word I've ever spoke, every deed I've ever done, good or bad. He knows it. And if I haven't repented of the bad things that I've done, they'll be waiting on me, I'm sure. Page 450. Start at verse 62. "And now, my son, I have somewhat to say concerning the restoration of which has been spoken. For behold, some have wrested the Scriptures and have gone far astray because of this thing. And I perceive that thy mind have been worried also concerning this thing. But behold, I will explain it unto thee. I say unto thee, my son, that the plan of restoration is requisite with the justice of God, for it is requisite that all things should be restored to their proper order. Behold, it is requisite and just, according to the power and resurrection of Christ, that the soul of man should be restored to its body, and that every part of the body should be restored to itself. And it is requisite with the justice of God that men should be judged according to their works. And if their works were good in this life, and the desires of their hearts were good, that they should also, at the last day, be restored unto that which is good. And if their works are evil, they shall be restored unto him for evil. Therefore, all things shall be restored to their proper order, everything to its natural frame, mortality raised to immortality, corruption to incorruption, raised to endless happiness to inherit the kingdom of God, or to endless misery to inherit the kingdom of the devil. The one on the one hand, the other on the other. The one raised to happiness according to the desires of happiness or good, according to his desires of good, and the other to evil, according to his desires of evil. For as he has desired to do evil all the day long, even so shall he have his reward of evil when the night cometh. And so it is, on the other hand, if he hath repented of his sins and desired righteousness until the end of his days, even so shall he be rewarded unto righteousness. Excuse me. These are they that are redeemed of the Lord. Yea, these are they that are taken out, that are delivered from that endless night of darkness. And thus they stand or fall. For behold, they are their own judges, whether to do good or to do evil. Now the degrees of God are unalterable. Therefore, the way is prepared, that whosoever will may walk therein and be saved. And now behold, my son, do not risk one more offense against your God upon these points of doctrine, which ye have hitherto risked to commit sin. Do not suppose, because it has been spoken concerning restoration, that ye shall be restored from sin to happiness. Behold, I say unto you, wickedness never was happiness. I believe that is a pretty self-explanatory reading. I think Alma could do a better job of doing it than I could. But he says at the very first in verse 62 that some have wrested the scripture and have gone far astray because of this thing. And I think he explains it there towards the end of what I just read. That sin won't be restored to happiness. There's teachings out there that everybody's going to go to heaven. It doesn't matter what I do because we have a merciful God. Well, I believe we have a merciful God. But I also know what the scriptures say, that we're going to be judged according to our deeds. We're going to be judged according to our works. We're going to be judged by that which we do in life. We're going to be judged by the things that come out of our mouths. We're going to be judged by where our heart's at. But that's one way of telling where somebody's heart's at is by their actions and by the things that come out of their mouths. You know, I've heard it said that, we're writing our own book. And basically we are. We're writing our own book. You know, the bad things we do in life, if we truly repent of them, I think there's this big eraser up there that erases it off of there. Or tears the page out and throws it away. We remember it. But I don't believe it'll be used against us at the last day at the judgment bar. Page 453. I know it's going to be hard to stay awake. And I do apologize for some of the readings. But as I was studying this, I thought, Alma does such a better job at it when he's telling his son Coriantum than what I can do. Verse 94. Therefore, according to justice, the plan of redemption could not be brought about only on conditions of repentance of men in this probationary state, yea, this preparatory state. For except it were for these conditions, mercy could not take effect except it should destroy the work of justice. Now the work of justice could not be destroyed. If so, God would cease to be God. And thus we see that all mankind were fallen, and they were in the grasp of justice, yea, the justice of God, which consigned them forever to be cut off from his presence. That's the demands of justice. Consigned them forever to be cut off from His presence. And His presence is the presence of the Lord. And now the plan of mercy could not be brought about except an atonement should be made. Therefore God Himself atoneth for the sins of the world to bring about the plan of mercy, to appease the demands of justice, that God might be a perfect, just God and a merciful God also. Now repentance could not come unto men except there were a punishment, which also was as eternal as the life of the soul should be, affixed opposite to the plan of happiness, which was as eternal also as the life of the soul. Now how could a man repent except he should sin? How could he sin if there was no law? How could there be a law save there was a punishment? Now there was a punishment affixed and a just law given, which brought remorse of conscience unto men. And I'm awful glad that we have a conscience. I'm glad I have one. Because when my conscience is really bothering me, I may not be able to fully, well, sometimes I don't understand why my conscience bothers me until I start looking back over maybe things that I've said to people or little things that I might have done, and I think, oh, there it is. So we have to go take care of it. Which brought remorse of conscience unto men. And now if there was no law given, if a man murdered, he should die. Would he be afraid he should die if he should murder? And also, if there was no law given against sin, men would not be afraid to sin. And some people that don't believe in God, they aren't afraid to sin. I see it in my workplace. Sometimes, I know it's on a weekly basis, because sometimes I wonder, aren't they worried about what's going to happen at the last day? And if there was no law given if men sinned, what could justice do or mercy either? For they would have no claim upon the creature. But there is a law given and a punishment affixed and repentance granted, which repentance mercy claimeth. Otherwise, justice claimeth the creature and executeth the law, and the law inflicteth the punishment. If not so, the works of justice would be destroyed and God would cease to be God. But God ceaseth not to be God, and mercy claimeth the penitent. And mercy claimeth the penitent. And mercy cometh because of the atonement. And the atonement bringeth to pass the resurrection of the dead. And the resurrection of the dead bringeth back men into the presence of God. And thus they are restored into His presence to be judged according to their works, according to the law and justice. For behold, justice exerciseth all His demands, and also mercy claimeth all which is her own, and thus none but the truly penitent are saved. What? Do you suppose that mercy can rob justice? I say unto you, nay, not one whit. If so, God would cease to be God. And thus God bringeth about His great and eternal purposes, which were prepared from the foundation of the world, and thus cometh about the salvation and redemption of men, and also their destruction and misery. Therefore, O my son, whosoever will come may come and partake of the waters of life freely. And whoso will not come, the same is not compelled to come. But in the last day it shall be restored unto him according to his deeds. If he hath desired to do evil and hath not repented in his days, behold, evil shall be done unto him according to the restoration of God. Any questions? Good. No. Seriously, I think about justice and mercy, you know. And God is a just God, but because of the atonement and redemption and salvation and the resurrection that comes through His Son Jesus Christ, mercy can have a hold of us. You know, if we're truly penitent or truly repentant, I about lost that one for a minute. If we're truly repentant, we can claim mercy. But if we're not, the demands of justice are going to be a hold of us. And we're not going to get to dwell with God for eternity. And what a sorry state that would be. I mean, we're talking forever. How long's forever? Forever. I don't know how long eternity is, other than when I was taught in school, eternity is never ending. I don't want to be in outer darkness for never ending. I can't comprehend never ending. Because in our life, everything has an end. Our lives have an end. Our souls don't. And that's what we need to be concerned about, is our souls. Page 452. No. Oh, the pen didn't even help. Page 252. This will be the 8th chapter of Messiah. I'm just going to read 2 verses here. This is talking about Jesus Christ. And I'm breaking into the middle of a thought here, but I figured you're probably getting tired of my reading. Verse 36, having ascended into heaven, having the bowels of mercy, being filled with compassion toward the children of men, standing betwixt them and justice, having broken the bands of death, taking upon himself their iniquity and their transgressions, having redeemed them and satisfied the demands of justice. Jesus Christ satisfied the demands of justice if we accept him who he is, for who he is, the Son of God. And that he came and did all the things that I talked about earlier. That he had made the atonement for the fall of Adam. He bought us back from that fall. He went to the cross for us. Because we couldn't pay the price. Because the whole law of Moses was pointing to that unblemished lamb who is Jesus Christ. And that's the only one that could pay the price that needed to be paid. We couldn't do it. Mankind in the flesh can't do it. We're blemished. Each and every one of us in some way. We just couldn't do it. But I'm telling you, we got Jesus Christ who stands between us and justice. And I think that's great. I just think it's great. Because he came to this earth. He basically went through the same things me and you go through. He went through temptations more than what I've ever been tempted. And he didn't fall. So if I'm going to have anybody on my side, and this probably isn't a good way of putting it, but if I'm going to have anybody on my side in that last day, in that last courtroom, to be pleading my case, I want it to be somebody who's been where I've been. At least been there. And knows what it's like to walk on this earth. That's been through more than what I could go through. And felt, and full well knowing what his end would be, he did it. Got a little bit of an example of justice and mercy, I think, in the 18th chapter of Matthew. It's the parable of the unmerciful debtor. Matthew 18:23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. That's justice, I feel like. This guy owed the king, and he couldn't pay it. So the king said, we're going to sell you. We're going to sell your wife. We're going to sell your children. We're going to sell everything that you've got so that the payment can be made. Now, is that not justice? The guy owed him money. Yes, thank you. You are awake. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Now that's mercy. If Randy owed me $1 million, and I went to collect it. Thank you. You're helping people get involved. We were talking about that earlier. And I went to collect it. And Randy says, I don't have it to pay. And I said, there you go, bud. You're going to get sold to Dennis. Sorry. You're going to get sold to Dennis. Your wife's going to get sold. Your kids are going to get sold. And we're going to sell that place you like out there in the country so much. You think I get $1 million out of all that? Probably because Becky's worth more than $1 million, I know. But he says he doesn't have it. So I forgive him. I said, that's okay. That's okay. I don't need $1 million. I can live without it. I've lived without it this long. That's mercy. I know I'm making a little bit of joke out of it, but that is mercy. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he had laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay thee. Now what should he have done? He should have said, well, that's okay. I was forgiven, so I forgive you also. He didn't do that. He did not repent whatsoever. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. The fellow wasn't he was sure sorry that he didn't have the money to pay him, so he wouldn't get sold, his wife and his children and everything he owned. But was he really repentant? No, I don't think he was, because he turned right around and did what he had just been forgiven of. And we have to watch doing that. I have to watch doing that. But I sure am glad we have a merciful God. Page 429, and I'll be done. This is in the 16th chapter of Alma, and it also deals with justice and mercy. Actually, this would be Amulek is speaking here, speaking to the Zoramites. in verse 2:15. And behold, this is the whole meaning of the law, every whit pointing to that great and last sacrifice. And that great and last sacrifice will be the Son of God, yea, infinite and eternal. And thus he shall bring salvation to all those who shall believe on his name. This being the intent of this last sacrifice, to bring about the bowels of mercy, which overpowereth justice and bringeth about means unto men that they may have faith unto repentance. And thus mercy can satisfy the demands of justice and encircles them in the arms of safety, while he that exercises no faith into repentance is exposed to the whole law of the demands of justice. Therefore, only unto him that hath faith into repentance is brought about the great and eternal plan of redemption. And one more verse, and it's verse 2:28. You know, when I was a younger man, excuse me, you know, before I knew the gospel, you know, things would run through my head, you know, what's it all about? What are we here for anyway? Eat, drink, and be merry, right? Verse 2:28. For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. Our purpose is to prepare to meet God. And when I understood that, it was a life-changing experience. Because I do have a belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I do have a belief that there is eternity. And I also believe that the things I do day in and day out are going to judge on where I spend that eternity. You know, the old saying, I think the first time I ever saw it was on one of the t-shirts that that came back from Camp Far West. It was, where are you going to spend eternity? Smoking or non-smoking? So it's our choice. It's our choice. The demands of justice, they're there.
Thank you. Thank you.
About forgot and stuck it in my pocket. Gave my wife's pen away the other day. She wasn't real happy about that. But the demands of justice are there. But if we repent, mercy takes over. And that's all I've got to say. Thank you very much.
Monday night study class at 7 p.m. Wednesday is worship and song, and this month Martha Bruner will lead the worship and song celebrations. Thursday, United Workers will meet at Caroline Hedrick's home at 10 a.m. and then have a potluck lunch at noon and then visit shut-ins. Thursday, the Quilt Group will meet at Neva Hauschnick's home at 6:30 p.m. Friday, Generation Found will meet at the Jacob Seibel's home at 7 p.m. And then Saturday, the YPCL will have a bonfire at Tim and Danielle Eddy's home at 6:30 p.m. And I was told to announce that chili is provided, but that you should bring the other food items to go with the chili and also bring your drinks. And the last announcement there on the bottom of the page, you want to take this bulletin with you because there's something there every day this week. So it's a busy week. The new local distributed April 1st. Please give any changes or additions to Joyce Harris, and you need to do that as soon as you can so that they can be compiled and it can go to the printer so that it can get out on April 1st. That's not very far away. We're going to close this evening with hymn number 200, and 23. And Uncle Nicholas, after we sing the closing song, would you dismiss us in prayer? Thank you. 223.
In prayer. Our kind and all-wise Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day that we could come together to hear Thy word spoken. And may the things which have been brought to our minds this day sink deeply within our hearts. And may we be caused to meditate upon them in the days that are to follow, that they may bring forth fruit to Thy name's honor and glory. And that may we be as a shining light to those with whom we come in contact from day to day, that they may be made aware that Thy word and Thy gospel is true. Go with us now as we go from here to our several places of abode. Watch over and protect us from evil and harm, and bring us back together again, we ask, in the worthy name of Thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.